Welcome to The Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
So one of my favorite ways of reading scripture lately, and I have to say this changes all the time because I'm always trying new spiritual techniques to get into rhythm with God. And it was suggested to me by a mentor, what if you read the same piece of scripture every day for 30 days? Just see what happens. So in a way, that's kind of what we're doing. We're doing the same piece of scripture every day for 6 weeks, but we're adding the visual component to it as well. And today, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But to put it all in context, Jesus teaches us to pray in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. This is the holy gift of Scripture for the people of God. Amen. What it speaks to me is that when we try to create an identity, we try to be more than we are, we're forcing it. As Sarah Bessie talked about, just finding a place where we can be who we are without having to pretend. It's so difficult to do. Maybe it's always been difficult to do. I don't know. The context that I know is the only context that I know. But the context of America today, it's so hard to simply be and not force it. If any of you have been on Instagram or Facebook lately, you know what I mean. How do we live unforced? Well, we start resisting the temptation to be more than we are. And we'll get to the art in a moment. And I think all of the art speaks in a way to that temptation to be more than we are. What does that look like? I'll offer some great examples today. Bruce Springsteen. If you are of a certain age, then you know that there's about 42 songs that just play through your head constantly that you can't get rid of because you grew up with Bruce Springsteen being the most important person in American music. 1980s. He owned the American airwaves. We all were rejoicing over being born in the USA. Mr. Springsteen was making about $100 million a year in 1985. He had just married one of the most beautiful women in the world, a supermodel, and after a year of marriage to her, he went into a deep suicidal depression because he was trying to be who he wasn't. And he eventually came out of it. With the help of doctors, with the help of meds, with the help of really good friends that he could walk with and helped him to see that he was wearing a mask and that all of the people that were coming up to him and wanted to be in his life were wearing masks. They just wanted to be friends of Bruce, the original FOBs, and he couldn't trust anybody. As he became healthy, he started writing a new album, one of the most powerful songs that I've ever heard. I'll offer it to you as poetry. It's called Brilliant Disguise. Now look at me, baby, struggling to do everything right. And then it all falls apart when out go the lights. I'm just a lonely pilgrim. I walk this world in wealth. I want to know if it's you that I don't trust, because I darn sure don't trust myself. We stood at the altar. The gypsy swore our future was right. Oh, but come the wee, wee hours, maybe, baby. The gypsy lied. Now you play the loving woman, I'll play the faithful man, but just don't look too close into the palm of my hand. So when you look at me now, you better look hard and look twice. Is that me, baby, or just a brilliant disguise? Tonight our bed is cold. I'm lost in the darkness of our love. God have mercy on a man who doubts what he's sure of. All of the ways that temptation draws us out of the rhythms of life, to walk this world in wealth? Well, it's to walk as a lonely pilgrim, to put your trust in a gypsy. Maybe that gypsy saw exactly what was going to happen but wanted the tip, so she lied. And God have mercy on a man who doubts what he's sure of, masks the temptation to be more than we are. That, I believe, is our first picture, our first painting. Women taking off the masks. Nothing to hide. Revealing the whiteness, the cleanness of their souls. Brilliant colors all around them. But they aren't taking those colors on. They don't need to be anything more than they are. Resisting the temptation to take on identities that are other than the identity that God has given them. Beautiful, beloved children of God. This temptation to be more than we are is all around us. We just simply can't escape it. In Northwest Arkansas, an environment that I'm very familiar with, the vendor-buyer relationship. But I think when I describe this, you'll see that this happens everywhere. Buyers can't trust the vendors. They really can't. And if they do, they're foolish because the vendors are all coming wearing masks. Sorry, but you know it's true. Rare is the vendor that wants to build a deep or is allowed to build a deep, deep relationship with the buyer because buyers just don't stay in one place long enough for those relationships to develop. But rare is the relationship when the buyer can trust the vendor out of love. What would it be like if we all worked together out of trust? Mark Eckert. Mark is kind of my partner in our car care ministry. We were visiting with an auto parts or auto repair store in Rogers, in a place that now, after about a year of working with them, I think we're starting to trust. And as we were talking with them for a long time, the gentleman that owns the shop loves to talk. I have actually no idea how he repairs cars because he loves to talk. And we were in his office one day, and he was talking about having just come back from a conference, a auto repair shop owners conference. And one of the keynote speakers was saying the first step you do to become really successful, separate your client from the car. Give them a loaner. Get them out of there. Because when they go off to work, you've separated them from the car. And you can sell them anything. And they'll say yes, because they just want their car back. But if they're in your shop and they have the opportunity to say no and drive away, you lost them. Makes me think twice now about every mask that our auto repair shops are wearing when I go in. Can't trust any of them now. So I do it myself. I try to. How do we get to a place where we're open? I offer you a tool called the Johari window. Many of you are probably aware of this. It's used in business circles a lot, but it's also used in psychology circles. Johari, I'm going to take that mask off right away. It sounds uber pretentious, right? The Johari window. This is like serious psychology stuff. This guy named Joe and his partner Harrison came up with this idea. So we have the Johari window. All of us live in these four areas. What is known to others about us, what is known to ourselves, this is the visible, authentic self. Unfortunately, in America, it's like a little postage stamp up here because we all have so many skeletons in our closet. We're all afraid to reveal to others who we really are because they might use it against us. I mean, seriously, imagine a buyer who told all of his salespeople exactly what senior management told him was their plan for the year. You can't. Now, I'm not saying be foolish about things, but if we can't trust each other, I can't trust any mechanic anymore. We live in a world in which the temptation to be more than we are, to gather things, to accumulate, to pretend, is killing us. So what do? We work on our blind spots. There's areas about us that others see very clearly, but we think we've got masks on. We're walking around with toilet paper hanging out of our pants, and we don't know about it. and we're afraid to ask anybody. But if we do, they'd say, hey, yeah, Eric, yeah, you might want to take care of that toilet paper before you go preach. My responsibility is to build relationships with people that are deep enough that I can trust them to tell me about my blind spots. And when I do that, this window begins to open. This line moves. This line moves when I start revealing the skeletons in our closet. Because what we're afraid of, I've said this over and over again because it's so important. What we're afraid is going to be revealed, we know is going to be revealed. We're terrified that if it is revealed, people won't like us anymore. So that builds anxiety. Bruce Springsteen, I'm a lonely pilgrim. What if people found out who I really was? Because they don't want to hang out with the real Bruce. They want to hang out with the popular Bruce. If they knew who I really was, they wouldn't like me very much. We're afraid. This is the area where we need God. Imagine praying every day, God, reveal to me the areas that I'm hiding. Reveal to me the areas about myself that I don't know. Invite people into my lives to tell me about what you want me to do to grow. What if we prayed that prayer every day? And then actively looked for the blind spots. Terribly scary, powerful prayer. But the window begins to grow wider. And pretty soon, we have nothing left to hide. We have been delivered from temptation. Temptation to what? I'm hanging out with God. What else do I need? But this is what life looks like. If it was just so easy to push a button and have all the temptation disappear. Oh, but we've got a swirling life of temptation in God's presence. So easy to get out of rhythm and get lost up in this swirl. We were taking a look at this painting during the 10 o'clock hour. And one of the people said, it's really interesting how there's a counterclockwise movement, a clockwise movement. It's a kind of like opposite storms attacking each other at the equator. It's just a mess. And if we get out of rhythm, if we get out of a regular prayer routine, we get out of a regular time with God, we get out of a regular Sabbath, we get out of having regular time with deep, close, personal friends, then we get into the swirling mess. Pete Scazzaro is a pastor who understands what the swirling mess is like. About 25 years ago, he was leading what had become an incredibly successful megachurch in New York. And he thought it was about him. He thought the church's success was because people loved him and that he had driven all of this success. And then he started having, church gets big, you start having all kinds of personality relationships. There was all kinds of infighting. And he started to fall into depression. He couldn't stop the fighting. He couldn't figure out how to make all of these problems go away. And he was fairly young. He didn't have the experience. He didn't know who to talk to. He was trying to do it all by himself. And he fell into this deep despair. And he told the church, I quit. And it took him a long time to get healthy again. And as he became healthy, he realized that maybe his calling wasn't in pastoring a church, but in teaching. So now he's actually became healthy, started a new church in Manhattan. But over time, as he started to attract people now because he was healthy, he realized that his gifts and talents maybe weren't in structuring and organizing and leading the church. Maybe they were in teaching. So he insisted that the church hire a senior pastor other than him and just let him be the teaching pastor. He didn't need to be the guy that built that church. He let that temptation go. And now Pete Scazzaro has part of, but didn't build, one of the most fabulously successful churches in New York. A church where 75 different nations, people from 75 different nations call that their church home. People from different religions call this their church home. Not because of a doctrine statement, but because when they go there, they feel so much peace, joy, welcoming, love. Nobody's judging them. People are accepting them. Not just saying you're welcome here, but actually accepting them. And Pete teaches. And he writes books. So as you leave today, you'll find a little stool on the back exit, and by the piano bench over here, I have Scazzaro's top 11 reasons, because there are 11, not 10. He couldn't stop at 10. He had to keep going. So many really good things he had to share. The 11 ways to stay in rhythm with God, the 11 ways to anchor our life in Jesus. The first is anchor your life in Jesus and realize there is no secular and sacred. We spend 40, 80 hours a week probably in this community, 80 hours a week at work. If we aren't finding God at work, wow, we are out of rhythm. Everything is sacred. There is no difference between the secular and sacred. We have to start looking for God everywhere. Break the power of the past. When I first went through an exercise, this comes from a book called The Emotionally Healthy Church. Pete Scazzaro, The Emotionally Healthy Church. I forgot to bring it in. Most important at the time, the most important book I'd read in my life. It helped me see how I was still holding on to some really serious anger. And it wasn't just reading the book. I went through this with two close personal friends, and we spent 6 months going through this book together, revealing to each other our blind spots, opening up the areas of our lives that we weren't willing to share readily. And as I went through this, I started realizing I held a lot of anger at my parents that I hadn't let go of. The divorce when I was 13. My dad working all of the time. Being left at home. Now, 18 years old and having your dad leave for 6-7 weeks and just leaving several hundred dollars on the kitchen table, it was fun at the time. But it wasn't the best thing for me to have done at the time. Set me on a path that I had to spend a lot of years fixing. Break the power of the past. Listen to your anger, sadness, and fear, because they are symptoms. We aren't angry and sad people. We are beautiful, beloved children of God that are experiencing the symptoms of anger and fear. Why? What is driving that? Every psychologist knows that if they're working with somebody that has an addiction, the addiction is a symptom. And if they can't get to the core of what's driving that addiction, they're just going to move from one addiction to another. Quit drinking and start running. Hey, I did it. And it worked for a while. But then, as I worked on myself, I spent 10 years trying to get healthy. And now I run for the love of running, because I run with God. And it's this incredible time of peace and joy with God. I learned what was driving me. What was driving me was having to be accepted by people all the time. And if I wasn't getting constant affirmation of people, oh, I would go into despair. Not perfect yet. We never get to perfect. But now my relationship with God is so strong that I am confident that I am a beloved child of God. And it's made a world of difference. Slow down for the Sabbath. How many of us actually take a weekly rhythm break and spend time with God? I wish I could say I did. I try to. I want Friday to be my Sabbath. But then there's all these temptations. Phone rings. Somebody calls. Somebody needs something. I got to be a hero. All these temptations. Recognize our brokenness and vulnerability. Hey, if we try to hide that we're vulnerable and broken people, it just makes it worse. Admit it. We're broken and vulnerable people. We've got all kinds of vulnerabilities. Find a good friend to talk about it with. And gentlemen, I know we're wired not to admit anything, not to admit that we're broken and vulnerable, but we are. Find a good friend to talk about it with. Live out of your marriage or singleness. If you're not married yet, you will be. If you want to be. If you're married, fantastic. Make it the best marriage you can ever have. Remember, as I was graduating from college, when the professors, maybe you got this, Haley, professor stands up at the end of the business, at the end of the year in the business school and says, I'm looking out at all of you and you're all filled with terror. You don't know if you're going to get a job. You're going to get a job. You don't know if you're going to be married. If you want to be married, you're going to be married. Don't worry about it. Set the fear aside and work on our relationship with God. Receive limits as a gift. Oh, I thank God for my limits now. I thank God that we've got a senior pastor so I don't have to mess with all of the details that Kurt has to mess with. And I thank God that Kurt's really good at messing with those details so I don't have to mess with those details. I get to live out of what I do with excellence and ease that brings enjoyment, which is working with people, which is doing the pastoral side of ministry. Engage in conflict maturely. I'm working on this. I am working on this. I got a long ways to go. And refuse to judge the spiritual journeys of others. I think we probably all have some work to do here. Until we've opened up our window, until we can say that we're open, hard for us to judge other people for not being open. And make loving others well, priority number one. Embrace endings and losses as an elemental way that God works. As we move through life, we transition. The kids move out of the house. We go from being single to having kids. Life is all about transitions. If we aren't getting good at dealing with the transitions, assessing what we've learned up to this point, and being excited about how we use the gifts we have for the next stage of our life, oh, then there's going to be temptation, all kinds of temptation, to live in the past, to refuse to embrace the incredible gift that the future brings. And this is our compass. Lead us not into temptation. Well, how do we know where to go? A compass. The compass of the cross. Jesus tells us the way is humility. Jesus showed us that the way is humility. It took a long time for me to get that this was a compass. Linda gave me this picture 3 months ago. I've been staring at it for months, and finally it dawned on me this week. Oh, yes, that's exactly what it is. It's a compass on the cross, and the cross is my guide. It ain't about me. It's about Jesus. And then yesterday morning, with lots of lead time, my daughter gives me the final painting of our worship series. But it spoke to me so powerfully that I didn't need a whole lot of time to think about it. I wish I could push a button and go from the mess of black and red to being white. I wish I could just flip a switch and have God wash all of my temptation, drives, anxieties away. But that's not the way it works. We have to work at it. It takes concerted effort to stay in rhythm. It takes concerted effort to find our rhythm. And my daughter gives me a beautiful image, a reminder that, yes, I've got a long ways to go. And unfortunately, only a third of it's white. But the white's coming. God wants to work miracles in our lives. God wants us to participate in those miracles. The miracle of becoming healthy and whole and understanding who we are and whose we are. So now, as the beloved children of God that we are, I invite you to pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.